Douglas Crook, Sunday PM, March 11th, 2012.
Let's begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We'll take this for our text. Verses 13 and 14, a simple exhortation from the Apostle Paul. As we're considering in our Sunday morning series on prophecy, and we understand clearly from Scripture that we are living in the season of the coming of the Lord, and if we truly believe God's Word, we are to be loving His appearing, the appearing of Jesus Christ and His soon return. And in the light of all the things that we know are coming and the things that are already here concerning how the nations are turning further and further from God, and how even the church, and we'll get into those prophecies a little more in future lessons. But as we see more and more of God's people turning from truth, not only not wanting to hear it, but not wanting to apply it to their life, that is a reality of the times in which we live. None of that is an excuse for any of us as individuals or as an assembly to be less zealous. As we've had in recent lessons, we are to be a people that are zealous of good works. But in the light of the times in which we live, it's easy for us to get discouraged. At least I know that's my experience. And in speaking to others, I know that we all have gone through times of discouragement in our personal life and in our spiritual life. And so the exhortations, the commands that the Apostle Paul gives us by the anointing of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14, there are five of them, and they are just as relevant today as they were when Paul spoke them to the Corinthians. The Corinthians battled carnality in many of the lives there in the assembly at Corinth. And he gives them this command, and for us that are living in this day when we anticipate the coming of the Lord at any moment, how much more should these words find lodgment in our heart and truly cause us to, as the song said, I forget exactly how it said it, but just thinking about the bleeding lamb, it stirs up those flames within us to have an ardent desire and a devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Two very simple verses, but how profitable they are if we would apply, if we would respond to these exhortations, if we would simply obey these five commands that we have in the Word of God. We'll just briefly look at, remind ourselves, we've had lessons on this before, but let's remind ourselves exactly what these commands mean. The word watch, it means to wake up and to stay awake. And the Greek word has the thought of waking up from a sleep or from being a little drowsy and coming to a state of alertness. And just the very command, watch, it conjures up the picture of a soldier who is called on to stand watch. And this is very appropriate. The Scripture gives us the analogy that the Christian is a soldier, that we are in the army of God. And when you think about a soldier and watching, then you also have to think about an enemy. The reason that we're watching is because as a soldier in the army of God, we have certain orders that have been given us to carry out a mission. We have orders that we are to follow from headquarters. And of course, those orders are spelled out for us in the Word of God. And we understand what we've been called to. Whatever else your career is, whatever else your responsibilities and occupation is in life, those are all secondary to your primary mission as a soldier of Christ, a soldier of the cross. And that is that you are to live, to glorify and honor Him. And you are, your mission is to point others to this same Savior. The Apostle Paul in Acts 20 summarizes our mission. If you want to read there in Acts 20 and verse 24. Everything else can fall under these two subheadings of what our mission as soldiers of the cross are. Paul says, none of these things move me. There were some things that could have discouraged him and obstacles that were being presented before him, including persecution and jail and death, the threat of death. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Saints, this is our mission that we've been called to. And if we are going to be successful in this, we're going to have to be watchful. But too easily we fall into spiritual sleep, or at least spiritual drowsiness, where we are not in a state of alertness to see how the enemy would disrupt and impede our mission, to try to overthrow us from doing these two very things, finishing our course with joy. To me, when Paul speaks of his race, it's a very personal thing, because every child of God is in this race to win Christ, to win the prize. But each of our courses is just a little bit different. Now, all of us have a general course that is laid out for us in the Word of God, things that pertain to all of our lives. But God calls us to different works and different things that He leads us into. So the race is very individual. And Paul says, as an individual, I want to be everything that God wants me to be. And I want to be able to finish the life that God's given me to live. I want to finish it with joy. And the enemy wants to rob us of our joy. The enemy wants us to be tripped up so we don't finish the course victoriously. He wants to injure us. He wants to discredit us. Anything he can do to keep us from winning the prize. But Paul says, I want to stay alert. I want to know what the enemy's doing, and I want to recognize when it's him that is trying to distract me from keeping my eyes on the prize, Jesus Christ. So that's the personal aspect of our mission as soldiers. But then the second part of that is in the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, obviously, clearly, Paul had a very specific ministry that no one else had. He is the apostle of this church age. But as you read Paul's teaching, you understand that every child of God is a member of the body of Christ, and we all have a ministry, and we are to minister to each other, the other believers in Christ, and we are to reach out and to present the ministry of reconciliation to the lost. This is our mission. It's pretty simple and straightforward. But how often do we get sleepy and we lose sight of that mission? How often do we allow the enemy to distract us from doing that exact same? Peter tells us about our enemy who goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's why we have to be watchful. You know, when I look at a lot of God's people that are by the wayside now, and they've lost that zeal for the things of the Lord, and they really aren't looking for the coming of the Lord, often I find that was something that transpired little by little over time. There are those examples where somebody, for whatever reason, in one moment decided, that's it, I'm not going on. There are those cases. But I believe more often than not, it's people get a little drowsy. They get a little sleepy. They get a little lazy. And before long, they find themselves in a sleep, and while they're sleeping, the enemy comes and robs them. The enemy comes and destroys their testimony and destroys their ministry. This is why we must stay alert in these last days in which we live. This is why we must continue to occupy ourselves with the things that are going to keep our eyes wide open. And this is why Peter said, I don't mind reminding you of things I've already told you, because otherwise we begin to get a little sleepy. And this is why we need one another and to encourage one another. Paul wrote to Timothy about being a soldier and warns him not to be entangled with the affairs of this life. Sometimes we fail to be watchful because we get too occupied with just living life. And many of those things in and of themselves aren't sin. Family, career, community. Those things in and of themselves aren't sin. In fact, they can be real blessings from God. But when those things become our priority, then we've become entangled. Because now we can't be the soldier that God's called us to be. We can't focus on, my primary mission is to finish my course with joy. Anything or anyone that stands between me and running for Christ, it's tripping me up. Anything that keeps me from ministering to others and giving them the opportunity to know Christ and to be deepened in the things of God, I'm being entangled if something else is taking priority over that mission. Carnality is another thing that often trips up God's people. The weights that so easily beset us, sin, carnality, wanting to enjoy life and give in to the lust of the flesh, rather than saying, I want to live to please the Lord. I'm a soldier, and my allegiance is to Him and to Him alone. The next command is found that's found in this passage is to stand fast. The word in the Greek means don't move from your position or your course. In the light of the coming of Christ, in the light of the ultimate victory that we've been reading about over the enemies of Christ, we should not let anything or anyone move us from our faithfulness to identify ourselves with Jesus Christ. First, concerning sound doctrine, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2. How do we stand fast? Okay, if we're a soldier, we need to be alert, first of all. We need to be aware that the Lord has a mission for us. We need to be aware that there's an enemy that wants to keep us from being obedient to that. But then we need to stand fast when the enemy does come against us, when things are bad. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. 2 Thessalonians 2, 15. This is how we stand fast. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. If we're going to be a faithful, watchful servant, we're going to have to learn to stand fast. When the enemy comes against us, when things come against us to try to move us from that position of saying what God says about everything. Sound doctrine is the revelation of the will of God. Sound doctrine is our instruction. But when there are so many things that distract God's people and move God's people off from an unwavering surrender to sound doctrine and a proclamation of that gospel, there are so many things that distract us. But saints, there's nothing more important. Too many of God's people they abandon the teaching and the support of Paul's gospel because they're looking for everything else. They're looking for entertainment. They're looking for programs. They're looking for certain groups of their own age. Or the list is endless of what Christians are looking for. But saints, God's not called us to any of those things. Now, nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. And if God gives that, then thank God for that. It's a blessing. But saints, when it's all said and done, you are commanded. I am commanded by God's love and by God's grace and by His wisdom. Be watchful and stand fast in sound doctrine. Whether anybody else stands with you or not, you stand for what God says to be right and true and everlasting. There's a saying that if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. How many times have we seen that to be true in the lives of God's people? We're to stand fast not only for doctrine, but we are to stand fast in doctrine. In other words, your life is to be governed by truth. It's not enough. Whenever we talk about knowing truth and standing for truth, we're not talking about being parrots. And this happens all too often and has happened throughout history, the church history. Too many times Sound doctrine is being taught by faithful men and women. But many times those that hear that, they learn to mimic the phrases and the doctrine, but they never really allow it to penetrate their heart and to transform their thinking, to transform their lives. But standing fast for sound doctrine also means surrendering your life and it's an unconditional surrender. I'm standing in the will of God by the grace of God. And to not let anything or anyone move you from that position. The next command there is to be brave. Now, sorry, ladies, this is not, what's the word? We're not trying to be chauvinist here, but it literally means be manly. But the command is to you ladies too. Ladies, be manly. And the thought is simply this. It's a mature courage. Grow up and be brave. As you get older, you have to do things that you don't necessarily like and you may even despise. But because you are mature and you're an adult, you just have to do it. That's the kind of courage that we're talking about, a mature courage. Stand up and do what needs to be done because it needs to be done. If we're going to be watchful, if we're going to stand fast, we're going to have to be brave. Of course, the opposite of this kind of bravery is what? Fear. Fear is a torment that keeps so many of God's people from doing the will of God. There are a lot of things that people are afraid of. People are afraid of Satan. People are afraid of their neighbors. People are afraid of their co-workers. Some are afraid of their family. Well, I'd like to do what God wants me to do, but if I do, then I'm going to have this problem or this confrontation, and I don't want to do that. You know what the Holy Spirit says? Be brave. Do what needs to be done, because it's the will of God. Paul wrote Timothy, let's see, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 11. There are so many passages that we could look at concerning how to conquer fear and the many things that we do fear. Some just fear the uncertainty of tomorrow. But being brave as we anticipate the coming of the Lord is remembering who it is that you serve, remembering what He has provided for you. 2 Timothy 1, 6 to 11, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, and it literally means of timidity. And it talks about being timid about doing the will of God, doing what you know is right in God's sight. And it's whether it's a choice of sin or disobedience or a choice of obedience and being afraid of the consequences if you choose obedience. That's fear. That's timidity. But be brave, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. And the word there is the common word. It's a power that is sufficient to get the job done. God hasn't given you the spirit of fear, but He has given you everything you need to do the will of God. There's nothing, there's no one that can keep you from doing the will of God, because your Father has given you the spirit of power and of love. We'll look at that later as one of the commands. And of a sound mind. You know what's wrong with most Christians? They don't think right. And I'm not talking about positive thinking. I'm simply talking about saying what God says about you and your situation and the world around you and the circumstances. God's given you the ability to see things and to think about things the way He does. We have been given the very mind of Christ. And if we would simply avail ourselves to that, we'll be brave. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter who stands against you. It doesn't matter who mocks you. It doesn't matter what obstacles Satan throws at you. You're going to be brave, and you're going to do what you know is right in God's sight, because He's caused you to think like He thinks and to know that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Be brave. But you know, being brave in and of itself is not sufficient. A lot of brave men have died in battle. Didn't get through the battle, even lost the battle, but they were brave. But we need the next exhortation as well, and that's to be strong. If we're going to be watchful, if we're going to stand fast, if we're going to be brave, we also need to be strong to have the strength to continue to stand. And the word there in the Greek, it means to increase in vigor. Increase. Doesn't just mean be strong, it means continue to get stronger. How can we do that? You can refresh yourself in Ephesians 6. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The way that you first become strong is to realize how weak you are. Being strong to stand for the things of God and to be the Christian that God wants you to be, it's not just you determining, I'm going to be a good Christian. It's you falling on your face and saying, God, there's not within my flesh the ability to be pleasing to You. You start there, and then from there, you take the next step and understand that now God's given you what you need to be strong. You look at the armor of God there in Ephesians 6 that equips you for the battle, and not just to survive the battle, but to be victorious, to quench every fire, everything that Satan throws at you. God has provided what you need to be victorious in the battle so that you can be brave and that you can be strong enough to get through any battle that God takes you through, that the enemy comes against you with. But if you're going to be strong, you have to put on the armor of God, and you'll notice that every piece has something to do with the Word of God. Knowing the revealed will of God. And no matter how many times we say it, no matter how many times we repeat it, the vast majority of God's people don't get what Bible study is all about. It's not just about learning facts. It's the same thing that you do, at least, most of us, at least three times a day in the natural. You sit down and eat something. If you don't, you probably should. You eat that you might be strong. Why do we continually need to take in the Word of God? It is the spiritual strength, the spiritual nourishment for our inner man. And so if we're going to be strong, we're going to have to take in the Word of God. And once again, that doesn't mean just talking about it, chewing it up and spitting it out. It means we have to assimilate it. We have to allow it to become a part of us, to change us, to transform us into the very image of Jesus Christ. There are some scriptures we could look at concerning learning to wait upon the Lord that talk about gaining our strength. There are several passages in the Word of God that, along with taking in the Word of God, we need to learn to wait upon the Lord. We need to learn to get into His presence, and this is how we begin to really allow the Word of God. If you only hear the Bible when you come to church, and then you don't do anything else with it the rest of the week, you're not going to be strong. Again, that's like chewing it up and spitting it out. It's not going to help you. But part of how it becomes part of us is when we take the Word of God, or when you read it for yourself, when you read it in your devotions, is you get down before the Lord and say, Lord, show me exactly what this passage has for me today. Not just what it had for me yesterday or 10 or 20 years ago, but what is it the Spirit wants to minister to me today? And give me wisdom to understand it, and then a part of waiting on the Lord is, Lord, give me wisdom to allow this to change me and to transform me. Saints, if we don't spend time waiting upon the Lord, if we don't do that, we're not going to be strong. You can be as brave as you want, but you're going to run out of strength sooner or later. Fall on your face before God, in your prayer closet at home. You spend time meditating on the Word of God and allowing that Word to become a part of you and to change you. The last command we cannot ignore. Everything that we do must be motivated by love, the love of God. And this probably is maybe the most difficult command for us. At different times, I'm sure it's difficult for all of us at one point or another. But we know what God says about the love. Well, let us read 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll close with this tonight. This unconditional love for others, for the lost, for fellow Christians, that we selflessly always seek what's in their best interest. Paul's teaching is that we die to self, that our will and what we want and what's convenient for us is not what motivates us or directs our choices and our thoughts and our words, but something else is to motivate that. It's this love of God that is not a human emotion. It's the very nature of God Himself. It's not in you, it's not in me, that is in our natural flesh with which we were born. This love is impossible. This love does not exist in what we inherited from Adam. This is directly from the very nature of God. God is this kind of love. But saints, as Christians, this is what we are commanded to do. Everything, not just churchy stuff, everything we do is to be done by the love of God. That's a tall order, saints. How many times have we fallen short of that? How many times have I fallen short of that? And when we do, we need to acknowledge that we've fallen short of that and return to obey this command because we know Jesus is coming. 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. See, it's not just about playing church. Although you can play church all you want, you can speak in tongues all you want, you can talk about angels, you can make all kinds of beautiful music, but it's without profit if it's not done by love. Although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, if that's not motivated by love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, that is, in the will of God, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But love is forever. For the child of God, it begins now. And the benefits of love we will enjoy for eternity. Saints, every day, as we're waiting upon the Lord to strengthen ourselves, may we continually allow the Holy Spirit to examine us. And this is how David prayed. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Are my motives for what I'm thinking and doing, are they truly this unconditional, this selfless love that comes from the very Christ within me? If we will do that, if we will surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to obey these exhortations that are pretty tough commands. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.